Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. Is this microphone too loud? You guys are good? It's loud? We're good? Just come down just a little bit. I'm on mic number 1. Just a little bit. You're going to do the fader. Number 1. Hello. All right. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. I began to minister this on Sunday after the Lord moved. Remember that on Sunday, if you were here on Sunday, my God, what a service. That's something when God does an altar call at the very beginning. I have some videos that people posted on Facebook. The whole church was at the front. And for a minute there, we had the whole church walking around, following after this crazy dude. But I believe something is happening and transpiring in the body of Christ. And I believe that we are seeing prophetically what is taking place here in this nation is a representation in the word of what he is about to do. So I want to do it some justice by teaching it to you tonight. If I get in a little tangent and want to start hollering and screaming and dancing and shouting, oh, well, just let me have my peace. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 1. Are you there? All right. In verse 1, I begin reading. It says, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakalah, in the month of Kislev, say with me, Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Anani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great, awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Verse 8, remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from the end and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is truth yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank you that tonight is a night that we begin to see the prophetic word come to life as we begin to apply it into our life and have an understanding of your word. Now, Father, I thank you for illumination of your word and revelation of your word, that we begin to move in the very thing that you've called us to do, and that we will not be swayed, we will not be detoured, nor will we stop the progression towards our destiny. We thank you for your hand. We thank you for your favor. But Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayer in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. On verse 1 there, it says, in the month of Kislev, I began to do a study on this. So I wanted to have a better understanding when God puts something in his word, whether it is a territory, a province, a king, a kingdom, it's for us to have an understanding of what it's about. But we can't just read it and think that's just an area where they were at, or it was the time of the year. You understand? So I began to inquire of God, and I had this. I told my wife when I left church on Sunday, we had, I don't even think we even had lunch or dinner. We just sat there and just kind of talked about the message. We talked about the service. I said there was so much more I wanted to share, but we were ready at 12 o'clock before we started. So I said, I don't think I did it justice. I believe that what the Lord was showing me needs to come forth. So I want to share it with you tonight. I want you to ask this very question. Why in the month of Kislev? Why in the month of Kislev was this brought to Nehemiah, a report about the walls of Jerusalem? Now, Kislev is the ninth month of the year, according to the Jewish calendar, correct? If you don't know, you can look it up and look up the Jewish calendar months, and you'll see that it is nine, number nine. Now, we understand the number nine to be finality and fruitfulness. But I began to look deeper into this, and I found some interesting things that God's plan was revealed in this month, Kislev. One of the definitions of Kislev and the purpose of Kislev is it is the darkest of the year. It is a month of darkness. A month of darkness. If you're taking notes, Kislev is a month of darkness. Now, when you read about darkness in the Bible, what does it come to mind to you and to your spirit about darkness? Hello? I'm sorry? Evil? Growth in darkness? No light? Say it again. Fear. Now, how many of you, and this is a question that I want you to really ask yourself and dig deep down inside, what has presented itself to you that you cannot see clearly that brings fear to you? Now, once you find that very thing that brings fear to you that you can't see clearly, this is what I want to share with you, is that there's some things in our life that light hasn't shined into yet. Okay? And because light hasn't shined into it, you go through a season of darkness not knowing that that thing is there. Amen? But when God himself begins to reveal his light, his presence, his spirit in that very area, and we're not obedient to what he's saying to do, then what will happen is we become disobedient children to get rid of the thing or to deal with the thing that God has shown us. Are you following me? I believe that in this time, we need to see that in this nation, has it been getting darker? The times. And I don't mean the dark, like outside dark right now. But isn't it interesting that we fall back in this month of October? Because of daylight saving times, or what's the other one? Spring forward. I'm getting there. But in the darkness, there's some things that need to come to surface. But wherever God is there darkness? B's back there shaking her head no. Who else? Is there darkness where the presence of God is? No? Opportunity? Oh, we're getting opportunistic. We're ready. Well, I want to point something out to you. In the very beginning, in Genesis, the earth was what? Dark. What hovered over the darkness, over the depths? Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, God himself in the Spirit, can be around darkness, but darkness is not going to last. Are you hearing me? Chaos cannot be in the midst of order by God. If you're finding that there's something in your life that has caused chaos, the Spirit of God is hovering over it, waiting for you to be receptive. Are you hearing me? So here is Nehemiah, the cupbearer to the king. And in the ninth month, the month of Kislev, this word comes to him. There is chaos in Jerusalem. Are you hearing me? What does Jerusalem represent? Anytime you read it in scripture, it represents the church today. Are you following me? When you read in scripture, when it says Jerusalem, it represents the church. Now, the church was in chaos. What was torn down? The walls. But more importantly, the gates. When it says gates, it's talking about doors. When some opposition comes your way, the opposition comes to break down your doors so that there is no security. And the attacks that come at night, you're going to be unaware of it if you don't keep those doors shut. So when Nehemiah was standing there at the presence of the king, he hears these words that come from him from his distant land, from Judah. Judah, and Judah represents praise. Comes from praise and says that there is no doors. There's no doors. Walls have been broken down. The doors have been caught on fire. Now, what is he saying? Is that praise has been attacked. Praise usually comes when things are going good. Is this too much, or should we get to the meat right away? I want to serve you a couple of little hors d'oeuvres before I get to the meat. Is that all right? Your night season doesn't mean that God isn't present. Your night season is your night season because you haven't seen the light past your issue. But God is still hovering over that issue with you. But to God, there is no darkness. There is opportunity. Are you hearing this? That opportunity is for you to overcome that thing once you succumb to his will. So what was Nehemiah doing? Nehemiah was saying, I have a position. I'm in my post. I'm in my position. But I have received a word concerning my people, concerning the church. And now I got to get back, but I don't know what to do. So we see here that in Kislev, the ninth month, it represents the month of darkness. And in the month of darkness comes your dreams. In the month of darkness comes your dreams. The second characteristic of Kislev is a month of dreams. A month of dreams. The month of Kislev is sometimes called the month of dreams because the weekly Torah portions for this month contains more dreams than any other. No less than 9 dreams appear in the portion of Vayetzi, Vayesev, and Miketz. Forgive me if I butcher those names. Which are all read during the month of Kislev. In the Torah, the primary figure connected with dreams is Jacob's son, Joseph. Now, if you have been listening to the messages that have come out, I've been speaking about destiny. 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 And I don't know about you, but I don't want to meander through life not acquiring my destiny. I want to live my life purpose-filled, moving towards destiny. I want to fulfill what God has placed in my life to have it fulfilled in this lifetime. I don't want to go on to the grave not fulfilling my destiny. Because my destiny being fulfilled is a starting point for my children to go on and take it to another level. Do you understand? We're never doing anything in the kingdom of God just for ourselves. We're doing it for people that are following. Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph was a son that had dreams. Remember I talked about the dreams? Your opposition comes because your dreams. Well, Kislev is also a month of dreams. Your dark seasons, your night seasons, you also have dreams. Why dreams? Because your dreams in your night seasons are going to begin to bring you hope, hope for what's on the horizon. The third characteristic of Kisla is the month of hope. Now, as a dreamer that Joseph was, he was also the one that can interpret the dreams of Pharaoh. So it was late. He was later named Decipher of Secrets. If you're going through a transition, some things that are going to come to you in your dreams are going to be the very things that God is going to show you as a way of secrets for you. You understand? If you find yourself having more dreams recently, pay real close attention to them. Start writing them down. Start journaling them down. And you will begin to see certain things coming to pass. Are you having some dreams? In this dark times here in this nation, there are some dreams that are coming forth. There's some people seeing some things in their dreams they don't quite understand. And why am I seeing these things? They don't make sense. But they will. Nehemiah was just doing what he was supposed to be doing, being a cupbearer to the king. And this is what came to him in the ninth month. The ninth month is also a month of hope. Watch this. Kislev comes from the root word that means trust or hope. In the scriptures, the root appears in several places, including, and they placed in God their hope. Psalm 78:7. Psalm 78:7. They placed in God their hope. And did I place my hope in gold? Job 31:24. What I want you to see here is that hope comes to those in a night season, in a dream that is put together for your day that is about to come. You may be in a season of darkness. You may be in a season that you may feel that it's not going to change. But God is going to reveal to you what is to come. Now, the ninth month is October, November of our calendar. In our calendar, we just had our election. And when did it take place? Last week of November. Was it 11th? November 11th was the day. November 8th was the day. 8th was the last day. We got results on what day? Say it again. On the 9th day. It should have been on the 8th. But the past two elections have been held up so that the results didn't come up until the 9th, after midnight, on the 9th. In our elections, we have seen so many people get very upset because the president-elect has been brought in. And I said this the Sunday before the actual election day, is to pray your convictions. Not with the party, not with what they said, not what they promised, but the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God is going to place in office who needs to be in office. But God will also put in office based on who we place. Are you hearing me? Because when God heard the cries of Israel that they wanted a king, even though God was providing, blessing, and keeping, they still cried out for an earthly king. You know the story? And they elected who? Saul. God blessed their choices because of their cry. Now, does that mean that God is always going to put in office who he wants, or is he going to bless our decisions? He'll bless our decisions because that's our will. But when we listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and through conviction, he will lead us in the direction that ultimately will bring about his desired end. You understand? I've heard so many people say, I went to go vote for, But at the last minute, the Lord told me to do this. I have never prayed more through an election than now. The Holy Spirit is moving for a reason. Whether you like his views or don't like his views, like him, don't like him, guess what? You're not called to like him. You're called to pray for that office. Amen? Now, because of the results of this, we see in our streets all kinds of turmoil. Correct? It is always darkest before the new day. But in these dark times, and here's what I want you to hear. Look prophetically. Don't look at it at like, well, pastor's just, you know, he's endorsing. I'm not endorsing anybody. I'm endorsing the word of God. This is what I see taking place, is that now the body of Christ is getting back into position. What was taking place is the Jewish people were coming back to Israel. What does that mean? Is the people of the church were coming back into position, and position meant prayer. And because they got into prayer, God elected someone that was not a king, not anybody of an office, but a cupbearer. Are you hearing what just took place? This president-elect never ran in politics, was never in governmental office, was actually out in the world system, not even called into politics, but God chose him. We can get mad all we want. We can get mad all we want. But ultimately, if you watch the steps that are taking place, hear it prophetically. Donald Trump, in these few days after his election, did more than what Clinton did in establishing his cabinet and getting acclimated into the White House, into his cabinet, faster than any president. There is something that's going to take place. All God is looking for is somebody that is willing. That's it, willing. Was the cupbearer really seeking to do what was ultimately asked of him, Nehemiah? No, but a report came of the condition of Jerusalem. A report comes to someone that looks at their country and says, it's in shambles, it needs to be fixed. I said, okay, in the ninth month, a lot of things happen in the ninth month. But then I see that after the darkness, after the dreams, and after hope comes the work. Nehemiah, after receiving this report in the month of Kislev, he goes and he fasts and he prays before the Lord, confessing his sins, confessing the sins of his house, and confessing the sins of the forefathers. Watch this. When you can get someone that has heard a decree from God in the Spirit to go prostrate before God before doing any actions or doing anything, but going to God and asking for specific things that need to get done, then will you hear the very words that came. Nehemiah prayed, and he prayed for the people. He prayed, he fasted, he mourned. Then God gave him favor. We know the story, that the king now gives him a promotion as a governor. How are you going to go from a cupbearer to a governor without having any experience? Are you hearing me? This should signify to you as an individual, in Jerusalem, in the church. The promotion is coming to you, even though you don't even expect it to come, even though you're not qualified for it, you have no experience in it. Promotion is coming to you, whether you are standing in a place of just holding something insignificant, but a change is about to come in your life that is going to promote you to the very thing that God has called you to do. How many times have we heard something from God and begin to act on it? Nehemiah heard a bad report. If we were to get a bad report right now, how many of you would go and pray? Fast, mourn, and do nothing until you heard from God? I think I lost most of us at that point. Because what happens is when things are going rough, things are going bad, we'll pray, but we won't stay until we get a release. When he got that release, proof was when he went before the man, this man, that he saw his countenance, and then he says, "What is going on? What is wrong with you?" Not only could he have been sentenced to death and imprisoned, but he gave him a promotion and gave him everything that was needed for the thing that God was calling him to do. Before your promotion comes, you're going to be facing something that is going to be detrimental. It's going to be something that's going to take you by surprise. It's going to be something that can get you totally out of the kingdom of God. That's when you know God has called you to something. Because if you do things based on what your abilities are, that's you. But when you step into a thing that you can't do by yourself, that you need God to do it, because he's called you to it, that's when you begin to see the hand of God in favor begin to move on your behalf. So now he's got his letters. He's got also these letters that are going to tell him that he can go past anybody. And if there's someone trying to stop you, I'm also going to send some people with you just in case. I'm going to send security with you. I'm going to send someone that's going to protect you when you're going out to do something. I don't know about you, but if someone was to happen to be that way, you know, Pastor Marty, I want you to go over here to this side of town, and guess what? I'm going to give you everything that you need. I'm going to give you all the resources. I'm going to give you letters to the provinces that you're going to. Okay, let's put it this way. You're going to the west side of town, and I'm role-playing. I'm not going over there. Okay, just make sure I state my claim. You're going to the west side, and when you go to the west side, you're going to take this letter, and you're going to take it to the congressman on that side of town, and he's going to open the doors for you where people would have opposition. You won't. That's favor. Oh, but that's just a representative of that area, but you also need to get that of the building codes that need to get passed. I'm going to give you a letter for that. Watch what's taking place. God is in every detail. Then not only that, the mayor is going to also know that you're coming, and they're going to bless you. Each step of the way, they're going to bless you to get you to where you need to go. And once you arrive, whatever you need, let me know. I will send you more. Now, you would think that's truly God. Now, I've got all this working in my favor. Everything's going to be all right. Right? Well, I said, "Lord, why are you talking to us about the night seasons and the dreams and the hope?" He says, "I got to do it in a way that's going to get you prepared for what you're about to face. I have got to speak to you about promise, your dreams, where you're going as your destiny and your destination, because what you are about to face is going to try to take you out. It's going to try to make you quit. It's going to try to make you check out. Lord Jesus." I said, "Daddy, I thank you for your promises, but tired of fighting." I don't know about you, but when you get tired of fighting, sometimes you can't even lift up your fist. And I don't mean to swing, but even just to protect yourself. He says, "Well, that's why I got to speak to you in a way that you have an understanding that I'm with you. Now we understand that Nehemiah goes and he goes at night to go and look at all the things that have come down, the walls, the gates, the doors. We understand that story. But then, watch this, when they start building, guess what spirit comes? Sanballat. I want to teach you about the spirit of Sanballat, Tobias, and the dreadful spirit. Sanballat, the name Sanballat is secret hater. Sanballat is a secret hater. Have you ever been someone that tries to act like they're your friend? You know, you've been around someone that they love you in front of you, but when you turn around, they can't stand you. You know who they are. You know who they are. They tell you all the nice pleasantries that you want to hear to make you feel like you can trust them, but they secretly hate you. That's the spirit of Sanballat, that every time you begin to get around prominence and begin to move towards your promise and your destiny, secret haters showed up. Sanballat, the spirit of Sanballat is going to come to try to get you discouraged. This spirit works the mind. Sanballat works your mind. He attacks your identity. He stops the workflow. His intentions is to stop the plan of God. Sanballat is a spirit that works with others. Sanballat, watch this. And I'm going to go over him again so you can keep writing them down. Sanballat is an enemy of revival and brings strong opposition to what God wants to build. Sanballat is an opposition to revival and wants to stop what God wants to build. Are you understanding this? How long have we prayed for revival in this country? I don't know about you, but I've been praying for something tangible. Hey, I love Bible study. I love the word, but I can get that by myself at home. I want to see demonstration. I want to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that when we leave out of here, we look different, walk different, and talk different. I want a real presence of God to show up where the train of his glory fills this place, and it's called Shekinah glory, where the Shekinah glory comes in and the ministers can't stand to even minister that they're on their face. They can't even open their mouth to say, this is, but they're on their face in tears because his presence is waiting. His presence will reflect who he is in your life. That's revival. Revival isn't, Lord, I just want to teach. Just trying to teach, Galen, just trying to teach. But when a spirit wants to come and stop revival, revival isn't just an outpouring in a sanctuary. Revival is the spirit of God that comes in to revive your promise in your life. Has the enemy come to stop a promise in your life? You're dealing with a spiritual Sanballat in your life that wants to stop revival in your spirit, in your walk, in your ministry, your finances, your health, your children, your marriage. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every time you begin to do what God has called you to do, there is a spirit that comes to stop revival in your life. Now, if he does that, if this spirit continues to do that in the body of Christ, we do not begin to see change. We see a lot of the same thing over and over. I pray, God, how come we're not seeing change? People come in and they leave the same way. I told you last week, I see things in the spirit. Did I not tell you last week? I'm in my office in my chamber getting ready, and I see things in the spirit. And I come in, and it's happening. I said, okay, God, what are you showing me, and why are you showing me? I need to have an understanding of this. Don't just show me something and, oh, that's nice. What is it for? It says, if the church would ask for their eyes to be open in the spirit, we could see what is coming so that we could prepare for what is about to come. But we're so busy always looking in the natural and not looking in the spirit. There is spiritual eyes that need to be open. Our spiritual eyes are not just to get a prophetic word or to discern a spirit. I see a demon. You see yourself. You want, oh, God, help me. You want to know why you see the same spirit on a lot of people? Not you. It's just, you know. Because it's in you. If you see the same spirit all the time in different people, you're not seeing or discerning their spirit. You're seeing your spirit be projected out to somebody else. Can I give you an example? Okay. Example. A disclaimer. Pastor Marty is giving an example. Be careful, because nowadays you got people who want to see you for everything. You're talking about me in service. You know too much about my life, and they say you're putting it out there. And when I came to you, it was about confidentiality, and now you're talking about, I don't know anything you're talking about. People want to come against that. Why? Because they don't want to see you move in the office that God has called you to move in. So, role play. You happen to see something on an individual. Michelle, I see that there's a spirit, there's a demon spirit that comes from you, and it's always a lustful spirit. I bind that lustful spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Okay. But then you go to another person later, not immediately, but later, see, oh my God, there's a spirit of lust all over you. I pray and I break that thing off of you. What's happening? You're not seeing the spirit on them. What you're doing is God is showing you your spirit that needs to be broken. And I don't mean your Holy Spirit, not your spirit man, but the spirit that is attached to you that you constantly project out. And so what happens is when you go and try to bind that thing, nothing's happening to the individual. Nothing, because you're projecting it outward. And there's where we got to be careful, is that the spirit of Sanballat comes to distract you from becoming who you need to be. So if a spirit shows up on somebody and you think you got to go and pray that thing off, you better know that God is telling you to do so. Because all it is distraction. And that's the thing, what happens is a lot of times we see things in the atmosphere, we see things in the spirit, but it's the enemy doing smoke screens and it's beginning to act like someone that you need to go and deliver and set free. In reality, it's you that needs to get set free and delivered. And once you do that, you'll begin to see the real things that are in the atmosphere. And that's what we need to be. Sanballat is a secret hater. And because he's a secret hater, what he's going to do is put up smoke screens, and he's going to be the one right next to you. Sanballat has a tendency to be your friend. How do you get a Sanballat spirit to be your friend? And you don't even know it. Guess what that spirit is going to do? That spirit is going to tell you everything to stroke your ego. Tell you everything that you want to hear so that you can believe your own press. Mm-hmm. Tell you, oh, Rebecca, you've got the spirit of prophecy on you. You've just flowed so accurately. You need to be on the intercessory team because you hear so clearly from God. You think so? Yeah. I've never heard prayer like that in my life. And you called some things out. I was like, oh my God, I was sensing it, but I didn't know. But you called it out. What is that doing? That's building you up on what your insecurities are to begin with. So it gets close to you. That spirit comes in like sheep. Now watch this. Oh, this is real good. Sanballat comes in to stop you from growing in your office, your ministry. That's a rough thing right there. Sanballat does not come alone, comes with other spirits. Can't do it by itself, but it will do and employ other spirits to come and attack. This spirit attacks the mind. Sanballat carries mockery and insult, and his ultimate goal is to discourage. Discourage. Sanballat does not travel alone. His sinister accomplice, Tobiah and Geshem, are allies to reinforce what Sanballat is doing to tear down the walls that the Lord is building up around you. Watch this. Tobias was a high-ranking Ammonite official, and Geshem was an Arabian ruler. When that is written in the Word of God, he's telling you that it is a very strong spirit. It's territorial. And when it's territorial, it's not just a little demon spirit. What kind of spirit is it? It's a principality. Principle. It takes territories. It's regional. You never hear that Nehemiah rebuked him. You never hear that Nehemiah came down and fought with him. Didn't fight with any of them. All Nehemiah did in response to Sanballat and Tobias the spirit was the word. The word. Four times Sanballat tries to stop the progression of the rebuilding. This spirit does not come into your area of influence until you begin to do the work that God is calling you to do. You start moving in your ministry. You start moving in the direction where God is calling you to go, to connect where God is calling you to connect. Guess what comes your way? Discouragement. Attacks come. And these attacks try to get you out. The spirit of Sanballat, its goal is to discourage you, to get you to quit what God has called you to do. This spirit is on a mission to thwart God's work. It's judgmental, mocking, and it comes in order to tear you down instead of build you up. Nehemiah 2, verse 18, it says this. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, no right, or no memorial in Jerusalem. That's Nehemiah 2, 18. He's speaking as now stepping into, even though he's the encourager of Israel to build, he is now stepping into his role now as a prophet. What does the prophetic do? The prophetic comes to encourage you, to lift you up, to build you up in the things of God, and to establish you in the calling of God. Now he's stepping into the role of a prophet. Watch this. This is what he's doing. He is responding to Sanballat's accusations, and he's telling him in Nehemiah 2, verse 18, the God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we are his servants. We will arise and build, but you have no portion. Did he rebuke that spirit? Did he come against that spirit? No, he spoke the word. He spoke the word. He did not shrink back from confronting this spirit, but he spoke God's truth. He spoke his promise, and he spoke the outcome. So whatever you're doing and whatever God has called you to do, don't listen to those that are your haters. Don't listen to those that are stopping you from growing in God. Don't listen to those that are trying to distract you, discourage you, and to make you quit. You need to be around people that are going to be driven for destiny. Now, this spirit is trying to get you to lose focus. When Sanballat heard that Nehemiah and his crew were making progress on the wall, he was furious, indignant, and began mocking the Jews. He began to speak against the work, Nehemiah 4, 1 through 3. And then he began to conspire to attack the work, Nehemiah 4, 6 through 8. And watch this. Even though the wall was rebuilt, Nehemiah 6, 1 through 3, this demonic clan still sought to bring harm to them. Here's what I want to share with you. Stay focused. Stay focused. His nonsense did not distract Nehemiah. He stayed focused on the task. Now, who is this spirit, Sanballat? He's territorial. He has a place. He has an office. What was he attacking? He was attacking Nehemiah personally. He was attacking Nehemiah in his office. You ever want to know that if something is really a spirit, start flowing in your office. Start flowing in your ministry. Start flowing in the things that God is leading you to, getting ready to promote you in, and you'll see this spirit begin to manifest even more. You'll have people in governing rules of authority, whether it be a church, whether it be a pastor, whether it be ministers of old, maybe ministers that are sitting next to you, they'll start to get irritated by you and they want to try to bring you down. And if they can't bring you down, they're going to start spreading lies about you to get you so discouraged that you're going to want to quit. Sanballat works your mind. And works your mind. Ever felt like you're going to quit just because it's just too much? You can't handle it no more. You can't deal with this no more. It's just too much. Why do I got to face this thing over and over? When is it going to turn around? What Nehemiah did, he spoke the word. He spoke the outcome. He prophesied the outcome. He prophesied what was about to take place. He stepped into the office that he didn't know he was called into, because where he was just a cupbearer. He announced it himself. I'm just a cupbearer. But when God promotes you, he's going to take you from one place to another. Then you'll begin to walk in your office. You begin to walk in your ministry. You begin to walk in what God has called you to do. All kinds of opposition is coming to distract you, discourage you, and to make you quit. Stay focused. Stay focused. This spirit wants to come and tear you down. But only wants to tear you down when you're building up. The Bible says that he came to him four times, sent notices. What did Nehemiah do? He sent notices right back. He sent messengers. He never spoke to him direct. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what is that signifying to you? That when you're dealing with the principality, you send the angels, the messengers, to go deal with it. You don't deal with it. You send the messengers to go deal with that principality. You tell the word and the angels hearken to the word of God and bring it to pass. Spiritual warfare that is taking place in the body of Christ is happening right now. But if we don't know in how to equip ourselves and how to fight, all we're going to do is keep going through the same thing over and over and let this spirit stop revival in the church. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be stopped in the middle of progression. If I'm building, I'm not building for myself. I'm building for a generation that is following. I'm building for people that are leaders, that are getting ready to lead, that are leading or going to go and supersede as far as I can take them. And that's how we have to see it. The body of Christ has suffered long enough. The church must be in position dealing with this spirit. We need to recognize it and we need to learn how to call things out. We can't be looking at individuals and thinking that we're doing the things of God by always just praying for individuals but not praying for the bigger picture to take place. What did Nehemiah do? He saw the bigger picture. As he began to do the work, he even instructed those that he raised up and put on their posts. Not only are you going to use your shovel, not only are you going to use your picks, but you're also going to carry weapons with you, because something's going to come every time you're building up and every time you're rebuilding and every time you're praying for revival. Something is going to come to try to stop you. And we must be prepared. Are you prepared for what God is going to do? Because everything looked great. What did Nehemiah do? He got all these letters, started getting all the provisions, and he started going towards his destiny. Once he started going towards destiny, once he gets there, all kinds of opposition comes. Sanballat tries to discourage, tries to kill your progression. I want you to see that. That's why it's important for us to see that Kislev is a month of hope, dreams, and darkness. But ultimately, how long did it take for this wall to be, the walls to be rebuilt? 52 days. 52 days. 52 days. Mark it on your calendar, 52 days from the president-elect steps off into office. We're going to see something change. This is a prophetic word that is going on in the body of Christ. I want you to hear it. And when someone wants to challenge this individual that is stepping into office and wants to challenge the things of God, I want you to think back that God is about to rebuild. He's going to restore this country. And not only is he going to restore this country, he's going to restore the church again. God is. He's just looking for a willing vessel that's not afraid. He's not afraid to stand against opposition. May cause more rift than anything else, but he's going to do what needs to get done. I'm believing that the Spirit of God and the council that is going to be elected around him will begin to speak the word of God into his life. And it will be the word of God that will be uncompromised. It will not be sugar-coated. It will not be something that will tickle his ears, but it will begin to charge his spirit. I'm believing that a real prophet of God will step into that place of influence and begin to speak life into this country, begin to speak life into the president of this country, so that we have an understanding that God has his hand on the United States of America. God has his hand on the people of God and for the church of God. He has favor that is placed on the United States of America. We're not going under, we're coming up over. We are not going to hit financial crisis, we're going to see a financial blossoming take place. For those of you that are believing by faith that the greatest time is the blessing that is coming into your life, you're going to face opposition. It'll be dark times, but hold on to the dreams, hold on to the thing that God has spoken to you, because you're about to experience something that we have never experienced in our life. It has not been written in the scrolls. It has not been written in history. We're about to make history because America is about to be great once again. People from afar will see the hand of God is on America. America prays for Israel. America sends troops for Israel. When you pray for the peace of Israel, God will sustain you and show favor on you. There is blessings for those that will support Israel, and we stand in agreement with our brothers from afar. We are all connected and grafted in because of Abraham, our covenant. I believe America is about to see this great nation once again stand for its right, stand for the principles, that God will be brought back into its places, and that we will begin to see not only young people beginning to pray, but we will begin to see teachers and administrators begin to call for prayer, whether it be before school or after school. But I believe by faith, by the Spirit of the living God, some things that were instituted are about to be eradicated. Some things that were put into play are about to be canceled. But God is going to put into place what he has said he was going to do. The great revival of old is coming to America once again, where people will be raised from the dead. Lepers will be healed. AIDS will be healed. We will see people walk in wholeness, blind eyes open, deaf ears open, and supernatural release will be released to the people of God. Ministries that have been on hold. Haran, you are sitting in this atmosphere, and I release to you your prophetic eyes, your prophetic ears, that you will begin not only to see in the spiritual realm, but you'll begin to hear with your spiritual ears, your inner ears. The angel that I spoke to you about when we were standing inside that gym stands beside you 24/7. There is an instrument that you are in the kingdom of God that will release blessings to a people, a generation, And the words that come out of your mouth will come out like honey. It'll be strength. It'll be encouraging. And it'll take root. But your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears are being opened right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, by the precious Spirit of the living God, I thank you for your very touch upon his life. I thank you that not only have you called him behind the enemy lines, but you have called him to speak things that are not as though they already are. I thank you for supernatural release and finances, Lord. Not only the homes, but an increase of the children that are to come. Favor in the local government. Watch this. Even favor in the market. People will begin to see the desire that you have, the desire that your wife has, and begin to bring resources for the home, for the children's, the orphanage, and the clinic that is attached to it. God is about to send nurses and doctors. What is it for the eyes? Optometrists? Optometrists. I see optometrists going over there and doing work for the children and for this house pro bono for free as missionary work. Glasses and shoes. Glasses and shoes. Glasses and shoes. Beloved, I speak this into existence, into your life. I declare right now by the very Spirit of the living God that you step into your prophetic destiny. Don't be held back, but let the Spirit begin to lead you forward. Whatever's been in opposition is bound in the name of Jesus. Whatever's been over your head that has not allowed you to go and proceed forward has been broken. You'll be like a battering ram. It'll feel like you've been hitting up against something that is very hard and dense. But the more times it keeps going, it's been making progression. And you feel that at times you're getting to that place and then something brings you back. But I hear the Spirit of God saying it's about to pierce through. It's about to bring down what has been opposing you, what's been standing before you. And you're about to walk into that greatest joy that you've been asking God for, that joy. You are a praiser, you're a worshiper, but there's a joy that you're asking of God, that you are walking in the realm that will begin to change an atmosphere where you walk into. And that joy will go forth because you said, let your Spirit radiate upon me, God. Because I love you. Because I love you. Healing virtue flows through you, sir. Not just the gift of healing, but the gift himself flows through you. Activated by the Spirit of God. Many will be healed. Young children that have skin disease and sores will come off of them and fall off before you. My God. My God. I bless you, sir. I bless you. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Eight things I want to tell you to do when you're fighting this spirit. When you realize the spirit of Sanballat have entered into your life. Number one, don't come down. Don't come down. Stay up. Stay working. Number two, speak the word of the Lord. Prophesy. Number two, speak the word of the Lord. Prophesy. Number three, Ignore the insults. Ignore the insults. Number four, remain steadfast. Stand. Remain steadfast. Stand. Number five, encourage yourself and others. Number five, encourage yourself and others. Number six, continue building. Continue building. Number seven, pray with expectation. Pray with expectation. Number eight, watch God perform it. Watch God perform it. Just because the enemy comes to try to discourage, tries to get you off course and get you off track. If we do what Nehemiah did, what I just shared with you, we'll see success and we'll see completion. I believe that we're going to experience many great things in the kingdom of God. But more importantly, we're about to experience success. Amen. If you would stand to your feet. With your eyes.